Why have abs when you could have kebabs? This is the perfect pour.
Yeah, really? Why?
Why?
There's
no good reason.
The Perfect Pour. It is a craft beer geek podcast where people sit around microphones and talk about craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes kebabs.
It's like totally original, bro. First ever. Nobody's thought of it yet. Just wait.
Yes.
There's only going to be 100 other ones when you search.
In the year 2000.
I am Mikey, and that is a growler being opened by the Nick.
The Nick here.
And the Bearded Brewer is back.
Oh, hello.
He took a week off to prepare himself for this episode.
He was in training.
Yep, training for this episode. And we have just opened up a growler of, if you're a frequent listener, you know who this is. This is a growler from Scotty B.
Oh, gosh, it's full.
Scotty B, a big-ass growler. He used a Tioga Sequoia, that glass. When the Tioga Sequoia is glass growl.
I'm already slurring,
and the show just started.
I'm already slurring, guys. I'm fine.
Let's see if I can get some growler pouring sounds here without dying.
Hey, guys, I'm growlering.
I know. Damn it.
Wow.
I lost it. I had it, though. There was some sound. I got sound in there.
You ain't cool unless you pee your pants.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, man. Smells amazing.
All mosaic.
What is this? Did he describe this to you?
This is All Mosaic Session.
All Mosaic Session IPA from Scotty B. Brewing. Is this one he's throwing into the fair?
3.8%.
3.8? Wow, that is low.
Lame.
Oh, man, that smells so good.
Wow.
It's cloudy.
3.8. What's he trying to do to us?
A whole lot of
that is like super cloudy, but that means super cool.
Super cool. Unfiltered, all natural.
All natural.
This is like a French woman.
Mmm, man, that's nice.
Scotty always gets his the lid popped backwards. What?
Scotty. How did he do that?
He puts some oomph behind the beer.
Yeah, his carbonation is always off the charts. I'll give you that.
Lots of nice.
If you're looking for carbonation tips, ask Scotty B.
Yeah.
This is tasting amazing. And before we get too much into it, let's get our tailgating beers out of the way real quick. What we were drinking before we started recording this epic episode of Craft Beer Podcast and this Six Point Brewing's Resin. We've had it before. We had a couple cans.
And we will have it again.
And Six Point is my favorite East Coast brewer at the moment. The 9.1, this is their double IPA, I guess. They don't say IPA, but it's their double IPA. 103 IBU.
We could tell. There's no fooling anybody.
It's damn good. Damn fine. About as good as the East Coast can do with the double, as far as we can tell. If you've got one better, send it to us. We'll drink it.
Can we gerrymander Six Point into the West Coast?
Yeah, let's get it going, man.
Let's just draw a line like around them and bring it back to, you know, so California.
Nobody else talks about Six Point on the West Coast other than us. I would think they could hook us up.
Yeah.
Maybe we should ask them if they want to.
They should sell out so they could get worldwide distribution.
Then we also had from Rustaller up in the Sacramento's area, the Captain. Black IPA.
Captain.
What did you guys think of that?
I liked it.
It was nice. It was different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It was a little different.
I probably wouldn't have picked it had it not shown up here and been opened in front of me.
The Bearded Brewer donated this one.
But I would drink again now that I have had it.
We had another Left Hand Brewing's Milk Stout, the Nitro. America Stout.
America Stout.
From the Colorados. Not a Left Hand, not available in Fresno. I don't know where it's available at. Really, I don't think it's available in California in general.
Probably San Diego.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't that come from...
I think, oh yeah, Kelly. Whoo's crap. Maybe they do have it down there.
Yeah.
And to round out our tailgating beers from Maui Brewing.
Maui.
Lorenzini Double IPA. It's got a shark on it. The can. It's pretty awesome. Pretty shiny shark.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ale brewed with tangerine and blood orange juice. 7.6. That is just barely into the double IPAs, as I was educated by the Bearded Brewer earlier. What do you guys think of that? Bearded Brewer likes the Maui Brewing, I think. He's a fan.
I do. If I went to Maui and I just drank their beer, I would be a happy dude.
All right. So now, let's discuss the Scotty B Brewing as we hear...
I love gold!
This is the current beer we're drinking from Scotty B Brewing.
I've never tasted hops like this before. I mean, I know it's Mosaic, but it's doing something different. I've never had Mosaic taste like this before, I should say.
Mosaic is definitely in there. I know that.
Mm-hmm. But it's really dry and
I like dry.
And viney. This is like feels like I'm chewing on the vine.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Now I get that.
I mean, obviously, 3.8, there's no alcohol burn, lots of carbonation, and just straight
chewing on it.
Man, this is a solid day beer. I'm saying if when Scotty B opens up his brewery or becomes a pro brewer for somebody, this should be on.
This should be on.
You should definitely have this. Remember this recipe, Scotty B.
This is wake up juice.
Yep.
Hope you wrote
this
that
is,
one down.
Yeah, this is like, the ladies will have a mimosa in the morning.
Yeah.
This is equal to that. I mean, if you can have a mimosa in the morning and that's socially acceptable, there's no reason you can't have this.
This is like you slept with your mouth open all night and you needed, you got that dry,
Well, that's...
This will fix that.
You brought up this story a while ago where, now you can use beer as to regain, after working out or whatever to regain fluids.
Oh, yeah.
Because your body is dehydrated and just wants anything liquid, basically. And you might as well, be a beer. It's not.
Why not the beer?
And you can recover just as well with the beer as you can with anything else.
This, yeah, and being 3.8, this would probably be the ideal recovery beer.
Yep.
Because it won't dehydrate you too much further than you already are, but it's still got vitamins and good stuff, carbs, the vitamins.
Good stuff.
Help you recover.
All right. Well, as we continue to enjoy this, it's time to get into a little culture. And also, a little bit later, I'll tell you what prominent owner of a brewery blocked us on Twitter.
Oh, will you?
And why he may have blocked us on Twitter.
Whoever could
who
that be?
Who could that be? Gee, I wonder. And also, of course, I want to get into what Bearded Brewer has been doing.
I think we should. It sounds
should
like
we do that first? Let's get into that first, because there's a lot going on in beer. And we went over the whole Lagunitas thing last week, and we've got now AB InBev and Coors thing to talk about, and the whole stupid Sean Archer thing happened just as we released our show. We weren't able to talk about them officially, but I want to find out what the hell Bearded Brewer has been doing.
So, being that
BRB
I work
tacos,
being that I work for a brewery in town, Tioga's Coyo, I had the opportunity to go up to Sacramento this last weekend for the California Craft Beer Convention.
And this is like the first one, right?
Thanks for the invite.
No, it's CCBA has been around for a while.
Oh, okay.
And this was the first year I attended, actually.
Well, see? First one to us, then.
Yeah, so the company usually does... Well, I mean, yeah, the company does a company trip once a year. Last year we did the Beer Camp of San Diego. I foresee us doing the Beer Camp in 2016, but this 2015 was the Sacramento trip, and it was wonderful. We drove up there Friday, and all day Friday at the Sacramento Convention Center, they had an open floor, typical like trade show style. Everybody has their own... All the different companies have their own booths. They had four different bars. They had three different stages. Two of them where there'd be a beer professional that would give a keynote speech. And one of them, they had a stage for beer and food pairings.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to just walk around there. And I say kind of cool because if you're into things like Comic-Cons or trade shows... You get to meet the higher-ups. They send the big wigs of the company, so it's like, oh, you want to meet John Doe of this chemical company. He's there in that booth.
They don't just let a volunteer take the booth, though.
No, not at the trade shows. And they have all these different classes about the beer industry because it was the three-tier. They let the retailers, the wholesalers, and the distributors all show up there and... So we had people like Big Game Jay. He was there for representing his distributor. Randy was there just representing his distributor. There was a Pita Kebab, I think Kunisama, and a couple of the Peeves. They were all up there.
Huh.
And we were all walking around this trade show to make new contacts and, you know, stuff like that. But the beauty about this is you put a little-known guy named Vinny from Russian River. You put him at Russian River for Pliny the Younger. He probably has a line about 15 deep of people that want to talk to him on that day.
Right.
You put him here in the Sacramento Convention Center. He's just chilling. And him and his wife are just standing there sidelines drinking a beer.
Nice.
You could just walk right up to him and talk to him if you wanted to.
Just walk right up to Vinny.
Pick his brain. You know, there was multiple times where I'd be standing around and I'd go walk through the crowd. And it would just be like David Walker's talking to, you know, to Lagunitas, and he's talking to Russian River.
Yeah.
And they're just all just standing there like, you know.
Kings of California craft beer, just hanging out there, just standing there.
Same thing, like
a random person.
Greg from Stone, you could find him sitting at a table. He'd just be sitting at a table, he'd have his glasses resting there, and he'd have a beer in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have his badge flipped backwards, clipped to his t-shirt. He wouldn't have a lanyard, just chilling there. I mean, he gave a speech and everything, but it by far one of the coolest, most laid-back festivals I ever went to. So that was Friday evening.
That whole time you didn't go up to anybody? You just let them chill?
Here's the thing. Some of the lower-end beer celebrities that are on Instagram and stuff like that, chances are I could have gone up to them and had a long enough conversation that they would remember me in the future.
Yeah.
All these other guys, they're just such celebrities and beer heroes of mine. I could go up and have an hour-long conversation, and chances are I'd see them next year and they wouldn't know who I was. So
right.
I wanted to keep them as a celebrity. If they, you know, seeked me out to talk to me about my beer or my person, you know, myself, that'd be a different story.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously I was around them and they didn't go, the bearded brewer. So I'm not there yet.
Bearded brewer.
But, you know, people would update me about like, oh, you know, I just talked to Greg or I just talked to David and I just talked to Vinny. They updated me about that. And I know they're cool people, but I just didn't feel the need to, you know, interrupt that just yet.
Right.
So that was Friday. Friday night, they had a beer dinner. It was upstairs in the convention center, so they had some better beers on draft and food and same thing. Just everybody got into town by that time because everybody's traveling up and down California to get to this place. So that's when I first ran into Society. They had just finally showed up, and we were eating like pulled pork sliders and chicken skewers and they had like smoked cheddar and salami trays and just like all this stuff. And so you're just like trying to get free beer and stuff, and they're giving you free glassware and handouts, and you're just like,
yes,
you're just like, you know, it's like the fucking Costco Mecca of free shit. So you're just like trying to shove everything in your bag and do all that. And then it, both nights at Friday and Saturday, it's 8 PM on the dot and they release you. Uh-huh. So then we're free to go hang out in town.
Yeah.
And
be like a normal beer drinker now.
Yeah. And so Tioga as a whole, we asked everybody where we were going, and they said, go to Coin Op. And so sure enough, it was another fucking barcade.
Right.
But it was the best one I've been to. I went to one in San Diego. I've been to ones in a couple other cities. But the one in Sacramento was beautiful because locals will remember a place called Babylon or Avalon, whichever.
Yep.
So you walk down the flight of stairs. You're in a little outdoor patio. Then you walk into the basement of a building. So it was that building. You walk down a flight of stairs to an outdoor patio.
Yeah.
And you walked into a basement of a building. And it was Babylon. Same had the square bar, which you could order something on all sides of it. And then there was just video games. No pool tables, no music stage, just video games. And they had a capacity of over 400. Wow. So 400 people. Dang. There was like 10 bartenders. They had, they had 32 taps, but they only had 16 beers. It was doubled up.
Oh, the taps are double.
Yeah. But it was still kind of cool. And so I got to see Thomas from Sudwerk, and so he bought me a Hefeweizen. Right. Scott from Dust Bowl, they're watching people play Jenga.
Hey, former guest, Thomas and Scott.
So it was kind of cool, to this really cool bar. And then we heard about another place down the street. So we finished up there, had a couple of beers, had some pizza, and went to this place called Dive Bar. So what do you guys think a dive bar is?
A dive bar?
Mermaids?
Yes. Mermaid. No. So this one was a mermaid bar.
I cheated. I saw a post.
Oh. Yeah. It's bullshit, man.
So you walk into this venue, and it's a little L-shaped bar and everything like that. And above the bar was just this huge-ass fish tank with freshwater fish in it. And it had the ice chest and the bookshelf and the whole – it was kind of looked like Pirates of Caribbean, if you will, but underwater. And about every 30 minutes, a mermaid would jump in the tank, and she'd swim around, blow kisses. And so you just have 100 people staring up at this fish tank the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was rather impressive. I hung out there long enough to have a Lagunitas, a little something, before we turned in for the evening. And then Saturday, same thing, convention center. They had a breakfast. They had more workshops, more beer pairings, and I sat in a couple speeches, and I actually got to listen to Tony from Lagunitas. I got to listen to him talk, which was very informative.
Talked about his Chicago opening.
So his topic was to talk about starting a second brewery. He briefly touched on the third brewery, and that was the boring part because he just spent like 35 minutes talking about opening a second brewery. And he's like, oh, first you got to go fly out, and then you got to look at buildings, and then you got to...
Yeah, pretty much none of us are ever going to do this.
Yeah, and so then he asks questions, and people have a couple of good questions and everything. And then there's that one guy, and he's like, when are you going to talk about Heineken? He's all... And so, I kid you not, he like legitimately set his beer down, and he's all, here's the fucking deal about Heineken.
Mm-hmm.
He's all, I'm 50 fucking 5 years old. And he's all, I want to see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all, I have 7 investors that invested in me back in 1998, and I haven't paid them back.
Yeah.
So he's all, yes. He's all, this partnership gives us money up front to do payback investors and gives me money to have some fun. But he's just like, breweries have been around for hundreds of years. He's all, I'm through half of my life if I live to be 100 years. So he's all, I'm guaranteeing the future of my brewery. And he's all, we have money, and if we ever want to build a new brewery, we borrow money from Heineken, not from the government, not from banks. So there's different, you know, politics involved when who you borrow money from. And so he had a really positive spin on it. And he did say, he's all, when people say partnership or buyout, he's all, usually it's majority. He's all, usually you don't get a lump sum of money and only 50% buyout. He's old, and we did a lot of research to make sure it was that. So it was cool to listen in to him. And then, of course, I heard that Greg Koch from Stone went up later on the stage and said, "Selling out your company, you're just stupid," or something along the lines.
He's all,
"I know I'm stepping down, but Stone's never selling. Don't confuse, you know, dumb people for that." He was just like pretty arrogant about it.
Really?
He's an arrogant bastard, that
what
guy.
An arrogant bastard.
So, you know, all these different workshops. And so we go run over to the Capitol, and they closed off Capitol Street for about like five blocks of it. And we set up the Tioga booth, and it was beer festival from 4 to 8 p.m. You got a glass, you got a little, some handouts, and there was 120 breweries, and you're allowed to walk up and get unlimited samples. And that was a very beautiful festival. And I got to go hang out with I did some pouring at the Tioga, and then we did shifts because there was eight of us. Mm-hmm. And so then I went to hang out with the society guys majority of the time. I did bounce around to a few booths.
So what?
Huh?
So.
You actually got to meet somebody other than Mike Sardina?
Yeah.
They have other people than Sardina?
They had two people there that day.
No.
I think they had a couple more.
Mike Sardina put on a mustache and came out.
Yeah. Hello, I'm John from Society.
And then he takes that off, puts on a top hat and a monocle. I'm Edward from Society.
I'm Edward from Society.
Yes.
So yeah, they had Steven out there, and then they had Jade. They were both very wonderful people. And then I think Steven actually got tired of being compared to me. I think there's so many people went up to him. And that was actually a funny part at the convention.
He's like, no, you compare him to me.
And he's just like, I don't see the resemblance. It's kind of not funny anymore. You know, he probably was saying that. But there was a point where we were both at the bar, and we were just sitting there, and he orders a beer. And the guy and the bartender's kind of talking to us back and forth and everything. The bartender pours the beer. He sets it down to me. And, you know, just kind of walks away. Doesn't even know register at all. And so we call him on it. And you're like, he ordered the beer and you gave it to me. And he was just like, oh.
It's beard prejudice.
Yeah. And I was like,
beard racism.
All those beard people look alike to you.
And so, yeah, I mean, and finish up the beer festival. We all pack in our stuff, go back to the hotel, reset. And everybody kind of split off. That was kind of like do your own thing night. So I went to the Society hotel room. And
Society hotel room.
But nobody was there.
Sponsored by Society.
Drinking fucking Nelson, you know.
It was a bunch of hipsters.
And then we went out to a barbecue joint, which actually was a hipster place, and got a bucket of hams. It was a
bucket of hams?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That sounds pretty hipster.
It was actually pretty cool.
Nick just poured him some more of the
that's aggressive.
Scotty B's.
Mostly foam, but yes.
He just poured a glass of foam.
And so did that. And then Sunday, it was just real chill. Just wake up, had breakfast, you know, fueled up the car, hit a BevMo, and drove home.
Oh, you hit a Sacktown BevMo?
It was actually a nice BevMo. I mean, obviously they had warm stuff, but they had probably the most amount of coolage for beer.
See, for a BevMo?
You guys didn't go to Total Wine?
Yeah. We were looking for something on the way to the highway, and that's what it was.
He just mad.
Total Wine has Yeti.
Oh.
Probably.
In Sacramento?
Yeah, the one in Sacramento.
Oh,
I've been there.
Damn it.
I mean, just fucking beautiful weekend. Got to see some cool bars. Hang out with some amazing people.
Were you able to go to Track 7? Does Track 7 have a tap room?
They do. They just opened up a new place, but it's like we didn't have a growler, and we kind of wanted to get home, and so that just didn't happen. That's the thing about when you do a big beer festival like that, and you're in beer, you're kind of like, oh, we could go out of our way to go do something else, or we could just go home.
We could go home and enjoy home and recover. It sounds like a good time. We're going to have to go next year.
Yeah, no, I mean,
media passes.
Yeah, whether you guys jump in on a brewery to help pour out, or
I saw them offering media passes this year. So
but yeah, basically, if you get in for some media and you guys go schmooze with the Brewing Network guys, they had their own booth and they're giving shit away.
Did you talk to the Brewing Network guys at all?
No. It's like I walked up to a couple of them and I was like, nobody recognized me. So same thing. I was just like, I'll leave it at that.
Just left them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah, no, Beardy was all over. He had a booth at the brewing portion, and JT was all walking around and recording stuff and talking to people, but like, it was just like, timing wasn't perfect, so I didn't jump in on those.
Yeah.
But Hey, you guys left.
We don't. Next we don't need to make our presence known. They don't care about podcasters. Mm-hmm. So we don't care about them. Yep.
We don't care back.
We don't care back. What do you think of that?
Take that.
Yeah. So, in your absence, Bearded Brewer, I got us blocked by Tony McGee.
Way to go, aforementioned Mike.
Tony McGee of Lagunitas fame. The Tony McGee blocked us on Twitter. At Lagunitas T with the dog. He's got this dog on his picture. Mm-hmm. So the perfect pour, thanks to me, can no longer see what Lagunitas T is doing on Twitter because he blocked us.
Wow. Why, Mike?
Well, I mean, our last episode we did talk about the Lagunitas getting bought out by Heineken.
Yeah, yeah.
And we seem to be not cool.
Our feelings were hurt.
And basically no soup for you. Basically, Nick was a little more positive than I was. I was just like, hey, I understand it. Somebody's going to give you $500 million. I mean, and you're old and you don't want to deal with the shit anymore. Yeah. Like, and you still want to, but you still want to keep your company going. I get it. I probably would be doing the same thing.
You always dreamed would happen.
Right.
But don't know how to handle it when it actually happens.
Right. I'd probably be doing the same thing too. I understand it. But my point is, besides the fact that he always kind of talk shit about people that did that before him.
Yeah.
The other thing was like, all right, well, you're getting paid. That's great. But part of the penance you pay is that you don't get to be craft beer anymore. You don't get to be cool anymore. You are not in the club anymore. You basically just got paid a lot of money. Now you're no longer welcome in this club.
Yeah.
Club that you helped build.
You're just beer now.
Now you're beer. And that's, you know, you have to accept that. And that's, you have 500 million reasons that to make that okay with yourself. And basically, I just wrote the headline to our episode as, I added him on Twitter, not thinking he would pay attention to it.
Oh yeah, he's got to be getting inundated right. with.
And
shit
I just basically just
long.
Said,
"How's he going to notice
now
a
that
podcast
now
from
that
Fresno?
Lagunitas T is big beer? What does that mean for us in craft beer?" And it was a
pretty mundane.
It mundane, but it was also a. It was also a small dig, but still it was not,
Worthy?
It was
like not even a rebuttal.
Is that
hey guys, let's talk. It was blocked.
Just boom, blocked us.
Shut off.
So, hey, we've made it. Tony McGee blocked us.
He blocked us. So we're
golden.
Yes.
Who's
next?
Just so you know, Tony, I have access to about six other Twitter feeds that all pretty much follow you, so I can still find out what you're doing. Just so you know, I can still stalk you. That's all right.
Figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and try and block all the other Twitter feeds I have access to.
Probably will.
He's like, oh, I will. I will search this out.
So I've got nothing to do now.
We haven't officially, so Nat, we've been talking about the St. Archer deal for a while because our San Diego friends have been talking about it.
Who deny, they said they denied starting the rumor and we credited them.
SC Beer Talk said we didn't start the rumor. Yeah, you did. In the podcast world.
For us, they did.
In the podcast world, SC Beer Talk started the St. Archer rumor. All right. Accept it. And we just kept pulling it off. And they were 100% right.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, us here in Fresno, we were kind of like, well, I don't get their
No,
because the 3BZ and SC Beer Talk are always kind of like, St. Arch. And us here in Fresno, we're going, I don't like this good beer. I don't get what your problem is. But they smelled it because they're San Diegans. Yeah. They smell the rat. They knew these guys are just a brewery basically made to make money and to be bought. And
we've all been tricked.
We were all tricked, but we didn't understand that was going on. And but that's what happened. The Miller Coors bought them, and I from what I understand, the employees aren't really they weren't part of this whole just get rich quick scheme. It's just the investors were. So the brewers, hopefully those brewers, I mean, I think they did get paid from it, but hopefully they can jump ship to another brewery and just, if I'm a brewer, I'm like, I am all over those St. Archer guys right now going like, hey, come back, come to an indie brewer. You're no longer, you don't want to stay there. So I don't know how, if those brewers there are contractually obligated to stay there. I wonder about the employees, whether they can just like say, especially the brewers, yeah, can just say, you know what, I'm going to go to an actual indie brewer now. And
I guess it would depend on how tied to the recipe they are. Because if, say, a brewer created the recipe and now
The recipe Miller would have Coors to stay.
Owns it. Yeah.
I can't imagine they could take the recipe.
Like, could you leave your baby behind?
I mean, beer to brewer, you would know. Like, anybody that's a brewer at Tioga, they can't just take the recipe. If they develop it while they're a Tioga employee, they can't just
nine times out. I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So there's more than one way to change a recipe and take it with you. But nine times out of ten, as soon as you brew something for a brewing company, it's theirs.
Yeah.
It's in their portfolio. It's whatever. And, I mean, I wouldn't worry. I mean, as far as, like, between Lagunitas and Firestone and St. Archer, I would consider, I mean, Firestone still says it's a partnership. They don't say who owns the most of the company.
Yeah, they're not being,
they didn't disclose how much money. So that one's in a big gray area. Lagunitas, I'm not quite upset about because it's a 50-50. People are still going to be there. It's not like anybody's resigning. It's not like if Lagunitas people resign, it's not like Heineken gets more stake of the company. It's still always going to be two parts. St. Archer, it does seem like they made it 4 years and they sold out, but people are going to get paychecks. And sometimes that's nice and not going, well, we just put new tanks in. That's making things kind of tight this month. It's the 10th Street division is always going to be putting money in the bank account and their checks are going to cash every 2 weeks. So if they stay there, they'll have that reassurance that, you know.
Right.
That's just my opinion on big beer.
Big beer.
You know, whether they're happy, whether they jump ship, that's all a different story. But,
well, it's apparently we're going to have one big beer.
As yeah, just one.
AB InBev is trying to buy Coors. Basically, it sounds like we're just waiting for the government to okay it.
Not Coors, SAB Miller.
Oh. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Who owns Coors?
But Miller owns Coors.
No, well, yeah, but they wouldn't be taking the Coors portion.
They wouldn't.
The SAB Miller is things like Foster's, Peroni, obviously all the Miller brands, and mm-hmm. there's a couple others, but they're mainly like import beers. It's not really anything.
So then if AB InBev buys Miller,
SAB Miller profile,
SAB then, Miller, then Coors would stays still be a standalone. Separate.
With their 10th Street and all that stuff like that.
And then anything under Coors label is still Coors.
Yes.
It's not. Oh.
The most confusing thing about that trade is if AB InBev does buy SAB Miller, it could shake up distribution because usually there are certain beers that, like, there's some Miller
some Coors distributors are heavy-handed with a certain beer.
Yeah. There are beers that are still separate. Like, they're, you know, used to be distributed through Miller's Coors House. It still is. So you'll find that AB beer distributed elsewhere. That territorial gets things. But it could be, they could be dicks, and they could say, well, anything that was, you know, distributed through a Miller Coors brand is now being pulled from those warehouses and being put in the ABs, and that could change or help people. If they don't have that stuff, they could put craft in there, or that could have been what they sold in town, and that could hurt them. So that's where I see the biggest shakeup is, you know, if AB does distribute all these SAB beers, they would just dominate shelves and dominate territory.
Right. I would guess that would be the reason why they're doing it in the first place.
People have cited that, you know, things like Bud Light and things, you know, they're losing money. So if they own a bigger pool of companies, they're not stressed so much on.
Mm-hmm. So this is basically a byproduct of the success of craft beer. Is AB InBev, the Miller Coors, AB InBev, they're all scrambling to figure out shit that 10 years ago they didn't have to even think about.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's
grassroots, baby.
Anymore. I mean, a lot of the American breweries are just owned by one person and they're just liquid in a can. I mean, it's consistent. It's, you know, product, but.
It just now puts even more importance on supporting your local brewery, supporting whatever your favorite indie brewer is, and just staying in the family and just like, because you have these huge brewers that are just trying to basically, it seems like they're just trying to save any resemblance of what they used to have now, and whether that means buying up other breweries or consolidating, whatever it is, they're just trying to save face. And I guess it's just kind of, we just continue what we're doing, is just supporting good local brewers or good indie brewers in general. Doesn't have to be local, but, and this shit's just going to keep continuing to happen. Like, I mean, we're kind of
this year, the last half of this summer alone.
It's been insane.
Yeah, left and right.
And
buyouts.
Made the analogy or reference, like, are we just now, we're as craft beer geeks, are we just like liking a brewery for a while and then we just see it off and okay, now you go off into the big world now. We helped support you, you know, say like Lagunitas, we supported you when you're a rebel brewer and now you're off into the big world.
Now you're Tony Hawk.
Now you're on the main stage. You go ahead and go off. Now we're going to stay back here and find the next little startup brewery. Yeah, I made the analogy on Twitter. I was expecting more people to be into, but maybe the Candlebox reference is too vague. But
that was pretty deep.
It's a deep one.
Yeah.
So what Candlebox is to the grunge scene in Seattle, that's what St. Archer is to the craft beer scene in San Diego.
Wow.
But then, yeah, you would have to know grunge scene. You'd have to know Candlebox. There's a lot, you know, a lot going on. So, because Candlebox,
please explain.
When Seattle blew up in the grunge scene, Candlebox, these guys in Candlebox came to Seattle like, oh shit, Seattle's the shit. Let's move to Seattle.
Transplants.
And so then they got found in Seattle, but as a Seattle band. But in actuality, they were in a Seattle band. They just moved to Seattle because that's where stuff was happening.
Yeah.
And then they got popular, and they're just very kind of vanilla kind of songs, which I actually am a Candlebox fan, truth be told.
I know. I like them too.
So, but, and that's just kind of like St. Archer. Like, the St. Archer investors saw, oh, San Diego's a cool craft beer city. Oh, craft beer's a thing.
Yeah.
Let's move. Let's start a craft brewery in San Diego. And that's kind of what They're like the second, the wave of people moving because they hear that's the cool city.
Sunset Strip in the 80s.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say,
we're from L.A.
Yeah, we're from L.A. Yeah, they're the rat.
Rat. damn it.
Rat's cool.
Another
rat's,
one that
rat's
I like.
Too, rat's too cool. Well, it? I'm huge rat fan, so it doesn't matter.
not from there. Say they're from there.
Yep. So what else is going on in the culture? Is there anything else we left to call? We got a huge culture segment this week.
Coach, man.
Founders
is getting California and Nevada distribution.
But there's a but.
Oh, there's a but. I guess we get to before we talk about them selling out. but Fresno, once again, has found a way to screw itself in the cornhole, shoot itself in the foot, and they're completely leapfrogging us. They're going from Northern California right down to, literally right next door, Kings County and Tulare County.
So it sounds like Founders is coming to California except for Central Valley. Fresno.
Nine Northern distributors.
Yeah.
Nine.
So Northern. We could only hope that one of them mingles with Fresno every now and then.
Jeez.
Sort of like Delta Pacific.
Yeah, why can't Delta Pacific get Founders?
I don't know. I don't want to jinx it, so I'm not going to say anything, but they might be interested in a deal.
That would be good.
Yeah. But, you know, Founders has an investment by, is it a company from Spain?
Okay.
They got an investment a while back.
Oh, it was a
They sold Spain a portion company. Of the company, yeah. And, you know, I think Founders is popular enough to where a lot of people didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, they're somehow keeping their street cred. Where a lot of that one kind of like, washed over quickly.
Yeah, if it's just some investor though, who like to me, I don't give a crap about just a random investor.
Yeah, well, but it still happened. You know, they sought investment from an outside party, and now they're able to distribute.
See, to me, that just like if
nationwide,
if Tony McGee just goes, I'm sure he has an explanation for it, and it's probably completely legit. But like. Just goes to a bank and just an unnamed investor that has no stake in beer. He just wants, you know, just wants to see profits and get some money. I don't think anybody cares that much. It's the fact that you have big beer buying half your company that irritates people. It's not so much just somebody and just a random investor.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
So Founders only sold 30%. Of their company. They didn't sell out 50 like Lagunitas did. So they're calling them a minority ownership stake in Founders from Spain's largest brewery.
Because of money.
Yeah, so now they got...
From Spain's largest brewery.
Yeah. So they kind of
Spain's largest brewery?
They did a Duvel-type deal.
What? I mean, I don't even know anything from Spain.
Don't you know about Spain, bro?
Don't you know your Spain brewers... Dude.
Spain's Mahu San Miguel Group.
Mahu San Miguel.
Uh-oh.
Mahu San Miguel.
Hopefully that's not SAB.
Yeah. Maybe we don't care that Founders... Maybe we're cool because Founders isn't coming here.
Nice. No sellout beers in Fresno, that's for sure.
Nope. We accept no sellout beers.
See, Modern Times is doing it on there.
On their own. Ooh, speaking of, we probably should get a Modern Times going in here.
Big Game Jay would be upset with us if we didn't.
Yeah, but also, it's time for voicemails. 559-492-0542. That is our voicemail line. We'd like you to call and contribute to the show. It is your opportunity to create content for the show. If you're like, I wish they would do this. Call in and do the thing that you wish we were doing because you have the voice to do it. And we have a looks like a stacked voicemail lineup this week.
Hey guys, can you hear
him? Yeah!
Can you hear him? I'm driving. He's driving.
Wait, what?
I'm not What's in happening? Him. Nope. I have my coworker Jake Chisel with me.
Yeah, the Hizzle.
Oh, the Hizzle.
Oh, yeah, the Hizzle.
Friday morning, except for this Friday. Dun, dun, dun. And I'm really butthurt about it, too. really butthurt. I might shit and piss myself even.
Yeah, and it's poop, so he's gonna be a jerk about it.
And you know what? My free podcast needs to be there for me when I expect it, because I'm entitled.
Yeah, you're entitled.
Yeah. Seriously, I have everything that I said. You didn't actually erase your show or anything. Stuff like that happens, as you know. And just keep up the great work. And don't forget, I'm driving!
I'm driving!
So
what the hell's happening?
Apparently there was a slight delay in the auto-posting time of the podcast.
Yeah, so,
oh, yeah, so
Scotty
B
leaves for work at a certain time.
I forgot
time.
About that.
And he didn't get his update before his commute.
Yeah.
And so he had to go, he had to do his morning commute perfect
poorly. Without us. Oh. Yeah. I no. Yeah, I screwed up. Actually, it was cool for the patrons because the patrons got the feed actually legitimately early.
Oh, wow.
But instead, it was my fault. Instead, on Thursday night, I'm editing and posting the show, and usually I'm so tired because the night before we were doing this show, and like I've usually had about 4 to 5 hours sleep before that and worked all day, and then that next night I do the editing, so I'm like fighting falling asleep as I'm editing, and I saved it, but I didn't post it. Mm. I just saved it as a draft. And then fell asleep, went to bed.
Oh.
And then woke up in the morning. What I'll do in the morning is I'll test it. Like, I'll go on Stitcher. If it's up on Stitcher, I know it's fine because Stitcher takes the longest to get the show.
Oh, okay.
All the other apps get it before Stitcher. Just
nice.
For whatever reason, Stitcher is the slowest to get
it. But you figured that out.
So
that's your
now
test bed.
Yeah. So now I know I go on Stitcher. I know if it's on Stitcher, it's cool.
Yeah.
And I go, as soon as I wake up, I go on Stitcher, it's not there. I'm like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's not on Stitcher, then I go to the other apps going, well, it's just probably Stitcher. Then I start going to the other podcast stupid. Apps, and it's not there. I'm like, what's happening? What's happening? Why is it not there? And then I go to my computer. Oh, it's just sitting there as a draft. I never posted it.
Damn it.
So my bad. Last week was a little late. So that was me.
Scotty B noticed.
Scotty B noticed. It's good that somebody noticed it. If no one noticed it, then that's like, yeah. Then it's like, oh, I guess no one cares.
Does it make a sound?
More voicemails.
Aloha, Perfect Four. It's Rich in Hawaii.
Yes, he's back.
We're doing good. Haven't been calling in a while, but I have been listening.
Cool.
Anyway, thanks for sharing the news on the Lagunitas, but I got to say, I really don't care. I fall in that.
Here with the bitter brew.
I always kind of thought they were kind of middle of the road. I've just kind of had their flagship beers and stuff. And kind of thought the same about like Goose Island and Elysian. Seems like, I don't know, those breweries are kind of trying to please the people and getting them out there and whatever, let them get rich. I don't care. And also noticed on Untappd, y'all have been nursing a six pack of Maui Big Swell. that's good to see, and it looks like y'all liked it. That's good. Maui's a super good brewery. If you ever get a chance to make it over to Maui and get to their brew pub, and those
all
guys,
the time.
I mean, they're beer lovers. I'll tell you that. They nail the stuff that they do.
Nice.
And the coconut porter, I saw y'all were drinking that too. That's good news. I like that one. But I got to tell you about some Cali beers that I have when I was just over there. And among them was a coconut porter that kicks the ass of any coconut porter that's out there.
Oh.
And that was the Patsy by Barley Forge. I don't know if you've ever tried that, but man, it's
we haven't.
It's sublime. It's fantastic.
I think they're an LA brewer.
I probably had three, four other coconut porters, and this thing was amazing. Then we hid out in the Costco bar in must have been Santa Monica, and those guys were really pushing the Hammerland IPA by El Segundo.
Yes,
and that was pretty fantastic.
Damn it. I want
real
to
good IPA.
Try that.
And while I was in did I say Costco? it was the other place with beer. Whole Foods.
The Whole
anyway,
Foods.
I got the Mega Whole Black Foods. House.
Oh, yeah.
The Black House on the podcast the Mega Blackhouse. That's one of the best damn things I've ever tasted before. And I've had, you know, steaks, filet mignon.
Oh, we're comparing it to all food.
No, he went way off.
And also, while I was in Cali, I had the St. Archer White Ale, which was also phenomenal. And,
see?
I was sad to hear about that acquisition. Y'all said they got sold to InBev or something like that. But that White Ale was fantastic.
No.
Fantastic.
I don't like L.A., but I enjoyed being there and drinking your Cali beers. So I hope y'all are doing well, all of you individually and as a unit. And look forward to talking to you again. Bye.
Aloha. Mahalo. Yeah.
Rich with a solid voiceman.
That was nice. He had beers that I'd been wanting to have and haven't had. So.
Yeah, he just shows up and drinks them.
Just shows up, drinks the beers I want to have, then leaves.
I'm pretty sure you can find White Ale at the corner store.
The what?
I'm pretty sure you could find the White Ale at the corner store.
Oh, yeah, the White Ale. Yeah, the White Ale. He keeps having that White Ale. That one is so bad. White Ale. More voicemails.
Hey, Perfect Four. This is Beardy Leroy from
Beardy.
No way.
Beardy and the Beast podcast.
Update. Went on a road trip the other day, impromptu. Yeah. I ended up about 2.5 hours away from my house in Idaho Falls.
Wrong way.
Trust is a craft beer, what I'm going to call Mecca, and found some beers that basically I'd been looking out for.
Yes.
Tonight I had the Space Dust from Fusion, which was good. Currently,
another crafty beer,
a Ruination 2.0. Now I've never had the original Ruination, so I don't have anything to compare it to. But I do like the 2.0. Last night I cracked open a Shipyard Pumpkinhead, which was disgusting. Every second of it.
Thank you.
Also. Down there, I got a couple Coney Island hard root beers, which pretty dang tasty. Got a few more in the fridge from my pilgrimage. Got another pumpkin beer from Elysian, which want to try. Also a Sour Monkey. I'm looking forward to.
All kinds of Northwest beers.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been drinking, other than the normal stuff. I'm a little upset that I didn't plan better because Utah plays Fresno State this week in Fresno.
Oh, shit. In Fresno, bro.
And if I would have planned better, I would have tried to make it out to Fresno.
Oh, that'd been sweet.
And maybe meet you all.
Wow.
But didn't happen. So, hey, here's hoping that Utah and Fresno State play in the future. keep up the good work. Enjoy the rest of these beers, and we will talk to you next time.
Nice.
Yeah, Beardy and the Beast podcast, which they were mentioned by Beer with Friends podcast, mentioned Beardy and the Beast. They started listening to Beardy and the Beast because of the Perfect Pour.
Making things happen.
So, there you go.
Podcast records.
Yeah, and Utah and Fresno State are playing Saturday. That's my daughter's birthday Saturday, so I'm not going. Or actually, it's Friday, but it's her birthday party Saturday. So, I won't be going to the game, unfortunately. But Reggie559 will be there for sure. And I'm sure other Perfect Pour listeners will be at the game.
Yeah.
Fresno State, so. But Utah is really good this year, and Fresno State is not, so. I don't expect that to go well for the Bulldogs. More voicemails.
Hey, you guys. It's Paul from Fairfax.
Yes.
Oh. Shower beers.
You know, is right over the
Shower beer fall.
Heineken Midas.
Yep.
Heineken Midas. Lagunitas. Lagunitas is just a little unincorporated community in a redwood shrouded valley.
Oh.
Where
Producer Becky told me that.
Brewed, and I've been drinking that guy's beers from day one. I'm not going to beat a dead horse to the ground, but it's a sad shame. Anyway, the reason I called was I want to talk about insomnia beers.
Insomnia
beer. So I've been an insomniac my whole life. Ooh. I'll go through phases where I get beautiful, wonderful sleep, and then, like, as of recently, I'm starting to go through an insomniac phase. And, you know, I lie there in bed for a few hours wide awake, and eventually I have to get up. And of course, the first thing I do when I get up is I grab a beer.
Yeah, that usually puts me asleep.
What I've discovered is that beers that I really like when I get home from work, for example, like my go-to lately has been this new IPA from Oscar Blues. I think they're calling it Blue Dream.
Huh.
It's a wonderful IPA, and it's so yummy, like afternoonish after work. But you know what? 2 or 3 in the morning, it's not what I want. And I'm realizing that insomnia beers are different from everyday beers. I think what I need at 2 or 3 in the morning is something like an old Rasputin, something deep and rich and brooding, you know. I might even have to brew my own insomnia beer. But I'm just wondering if you guys have insomnia beers or any recommendations for the wee hours. That's all. Anyway, this has been Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
And I'm driving. Thank you later.
And I'm driving. Thank you, Paul. Beta Brewer. Insomnia beer.
I go in different swings of... I'll have weeks where I have a couple of beers every night, and then I have swings where I drink on the podcast, and I drink on one of my days off, and that's all I do, just 2 days a week. And it just depends how it is. But typically, it's if I go home, I'm tired from working, I have 2 beers, boom, I'm out. But if I had to pick one beer, I'd say a 22-ounce double dry hop Sherman. Give me one of those. Polish it off. Put me to bed. Things are good. What about you, brother?
I was totally here the whole time.
The topic that Paul gave us was a beer for the insomniac. Mm. What do you choose? He picked up an IPA.
Coffee
was
beer.
He wanted, so. But
coffee beer.
Are you using it
beer
to
beer with caffeine.
Yeah.
Are you using it to...
stay up longer.
Aid your awakeness, or are you using it to put you to sleep? That's what you don't know.
Mm.
Insomnia beer.
Insomnia beer.
What would you, you know? I think drinking a double dry hop with insomnia would put me to bed, not keep me awake, so.
I would definitely go heavy alcohol, because like you're saying, I mean... I'm so done by the end of the day. Once I had 2 beers, I'm like, and I'm at the moment, luckily enough, knock on wood, when my head hits the pillow, a minute later, I'm a sleep guy.
Nice.
And knock on wood, open, keeps that way. Unless there's something like external going on, like some sort of stress going on.
Yeah.
Then I'll say that. Then I might have, or I have, I got restless leg syndrome sometimes. So. I mean, it happens.
It's the struggle is real.
The struggle is real, bro.
I'm going to have to go with what's the shorter answer here. And for me, that is not a sour beer.
yeah.
My belly would keep me up all night if I had a sour beer.
Mm. Okay.
So that would be not the answer. Just the indigestion alone would burning, and I'd rather eat a jar of jalapenos than have a sour beer before bed.
Wow, that is a bold statement right there. A jar of jalapenos instead.
Mm-hmm. Some beers just get my gut going. It's damn near ruthless. I enjoy them still. I'm not going to stop drinking them. I'm just going to stop drinking them before 10 o'clock, I guess.
Well, we need to edit. We still got a few voicemails here. We have a solid week of voicemails, but we need new beer here, so.
New beer.
It is time for this one.
I love gold.
Modern Times. A looking out beer for the whole show. Fruitland Sour Cherry Goose. From the Modern Times of Brewing.
Not sleeping at night.
Yep. Now I'm like
speaking of your fart
realizing
beer.
I don't yeah
making parachutes out of my comforter.
Cool. Gonna go around the table now. I'm pouring one.
Hurry up.
Are you done yet? How about now?
We're getting thirsty over here.
All right. going around the table from left to right on your podcast, Al.
It is. Look at that color.
Quadraphonic sound.
It is like amber cherry to no max. I mean, to no end.
Amber? Barely knew her.
Mm. This would be the first sour we've had from Modern Times.
I believe so.
Because we're not cool enough to be in there.
Consulting the wall? Yes, you're correct.
Because we're not in their sour club.
This is the stuff sleep is not made from.
Man. We'll figure out what we think about this as we listen to some more voicemails.
Hey, guys. It's Jake. It's State Farm. I know I haven't
Jake
called in a long time or heard from you for a long time. But I just met up with Big Game James right now. And
dang it.
I got some gifts for you guys. I'll see you guys a little bit later. All right, bye.
Wow. All right, see you later.
All
right,
see ya.
Is he talking about the Fruitlands?
Yeah. So he messaged me earlier today, and he was just like, what time's the podcast? And I was like, oh, 9:30. And so he, like, worded it like he was just going to show up. And then I got a message about 8:45, and he's just like, are you home? And I was like, well, I am, but I can't really go outside right now, pooping. And so I'm all, if you're dropping something off, just throw it in the bed of the truck. And so he just dropped beer off. And I'm like, damn it, Jake, you always talk about wanting to come back on. Just show up.
Just show up. It's more voicemails. Can you believe this?
Search for podcast. James.
And it's James.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call in, say hi, see how everything's going on the podcast.
It's going pretty good, sir.
Just got back a few days ago from the California Craft Beer Summit, where I was lucky enough to hang out with the Tioga Boys for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Great group of guys there. Shared some good beers, some good laughs, and got a little tore up. Anyways, Jake from State Farm, should be picking up fairly soon to Fresno. He was in Bakersfield today. So I sent you guys some beers, some local beers, or local, I guess, kind of local to us anyway. But
shit, you don't get.
Something you guys don't have in Fresno yet. Who knows?
There it
maybe
is.
You guys have already had it. Anyways, let me know what you guys think. Hope you guys enjoy them. Keep up the good work. Talk to you guys soon. Later.
Later. Right. I like to think that they're hanging out at the Crystal Palace.
One more real quick one before we say what this
is. Hey, guys. This is Jake from State Farm. I just dropped off the package
from
Matt and his casa. So it's a donation from James. I'll give him a shout-out. Bakersfield. All right, man. See you guys.
Why does he sound sad now?
No, he sounds suppressed. Yeah, I think he wanted to see Matt, and like Matt couldn't come out because he was indisposed. And like he's just like, man, I'm not going to see Matt.
I'm not going to be on the show.
I can't have this beer because I got to drop it off because Big Game James says don't not drop it off. I hope Jake from San Fran's okay.
Me too.
The Big Game
does he have his khakis on? It didn't sound like he has khakis.
No, that's the problem.
Maybe he needs new khakis.
Big Game does get a little mean sometimes. Oh. Mean in the nicest way possible, because he'll be like, hey, you, beer meal, here's some really cool beer that you probably want to have, but give it to the perfect poor guys.
Don't you dare drink it.
I used to catch a lot of flack from Stewart about that. He'd be like, fuck you. And I was just like, what? Okay, fuck you, but what for? And he's just like, oh, James is giving you beer I haven't even had. And I was like, oh, okay, sucks to be you. Go ahead and
start a podcast.
Yeah, start a podcast.
That's all I
got to
say.
Yeah, so.
And you can have
it. Want to cry about it? Start a podcast.
Start a podcast.
So I used to catch flack for that.
All right, that was voicemails 559-492-0542. All the cool things that they were doing, you can do it too, and it's awesome.
I kind of wish I called
in. It is your show. You should have called in, bro.
Hey, guys, I'm bringing you beer.
Hey, guys, I'm in Sacramento, and I'm not driving. You know, this is your show as much as it is our show, so the voicemail is the easiest way you can contribute. And you, if you're a podcaster, you can also make a voicemail and send it like Greg did last week from the SD Beer Talk. Yeah. This week, Portland Timbros.
Timbros are back.
The Timbros are back giving us fucking content.
Hey, Perfect Pour. This is Cody calling out of Portland. I've been meaning to call you guys, but it seems like you changed your guys' recording time, but I'm not sure, because I would normally listen to them on, like,
it's a blowback from Friday my late, or Saturday late anyway. Post.
Mm. But I'm sorry for neglecting you. I am excited because the weather is getting cooler, so that means more fall beers. Yeah. I really love pumpkin beers. Pumpkin I don't know how you guys beers. Feel about those.
Oh, I love them.
But that's Beardy not Bird what I'm excited for. I'm really anxious fuck to see pumpkin. What they roll out for the Christmas season, all the festive spice beers. So with that said, I have two questions for you guys. One is, what is your favorite autumn beer?
None.
I'll call later and ask about your winter beers, but just what's your favorite fall beer? It doesn't have to be anything gimmicky or flavored or just general autumn beer, not style either, like actual, like,
it's always walking
brand.
Yeah, yeah, playing on the freeway again.
It's always walking.
Type. And then what
get
is
out of the fast
your
lane.
Guys' favorite thing to eat with an IPA? I know you guys are all about that Sculpin. I think you mentioned that more than anything. so I guess you can
that was like in 2014, that, just, bro.
What's your favorite thing to eat with an IPA? All right, talk to you guys later. Right. Adios.
I don't think I have a go-to fall beer.
No?
Last year, the only one I drank more than once would be Fireside Chat. 21st Amendment.
Oh, okay.
Mm. That's their winter.
I haven't had that now. Since it came out, like, when it was brand new.
See, I am a fan of the pumpkin beers, so I'm going to say Pump Kick. Is that New Belgians?
Yes.
Yeah, I get confused on them.
I'm looking forward to that one. Even the Dogfish Head is not a bad beer.
I just saw it come out.
The Pumpkin.
Whole Foods has
is
the
that
Dogfish
pumpkin?
Head.
Punk, I think it's Pumpkin.
The, what's the one? Uinta has the pumpkin.
Oh, maybe it's Uinta's has the Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Yeah, theirs is good too.
Yeah, I don't mind those beers. I'm not a huge fan, but Producer Becky likes those.
Yeah.
Likes those.
This
because
is,
they're out of your gourd.
Yeah. So there isn't even anything in the fall that you like, Beardy Bird, that's not pumpkin related?
Yeah, Fireside Chat. That's their...
Other than Fireside Chat. Oh, sorry. You know the one you just said 1 minute ago? Other than that one?
Other than that one?
I'm more interested in his other question. Food with IPA. And I can't say that I really go for beer and food pairings too much. I can do them. I can understand them. But usually when I'm at a restaurant, I don't grab a beer. Or I have a beer and I'm not drinking it while I'm eating. And...
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I'm not a big food with beer guy. Like, pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if I'm drinking, it's not like I'm not drinking a beer to have with the food. Like, I'm drinking a beer because I happen to be eating food at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It is not they're not really going with each other. I'm just like, I'm at Eureka Burger. Of course, I'm going to drink beer. But I'm not pairing that with any of the food there. Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
this beer would go good with their truffle fries.
Yep. Well, we always have truffle fries too.
Ooh, truffle fries.
But yeah, I'm not a big food pair with beer. But like I was saying before, Kins Bay Brews did say, hey, try Reese's peanut butter cups with IPA. And after I did, I was like, yes.
Amazing.
That is good. That is a good pairing. Reese's peanut butter cups with an IPA is very solid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge salsa, chips and salsa.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite snack.
Okay.
So I always have chip and salsa on hand now.
Yeah.
So I'm usually eating chips and salsa with my beer at night. And it's usually a pale IPA of some sort. So I'm pairing, I'm inadvertently pairing salsa and chips with IPAs. I think they go pretty well together, but I kind of don't care because I kind of want them equally. Like I want, I really want chips and salsa right now. Well, I also really want a beer. Well, I might as well have them at the same time.
And that could be interesting because you could tailor salsa as much as you can tailor an IPA. That you know how many different varieties there are. Yeah. You could have the chunky Pico de Gallo.
Mm-hmm.
You could have the Bobby Salazar style where it's just
which is my go-to liquidy, the Bobby Salazar
liquidy, you know, mush.
Yep.
Salsa.
Your $2 Pace.
Oh, yeah, you could totally go Pace.
That, dude.
You could totally go warm.
Pace is big salsa.
Warm shelf.
I'd go indie salsa, man. Salsa local.
Kuka's is my favorite salsa.
Kuka's is good salsa. Okay. Oh, yes. Kuka's is good salsa.
But I'm leaning the same way. I was thinking shrimp tacos.
Good salsa.
Shrimp tacos are my favorite IPA food.
Okay.
See where you're going with the Mexican style.
Some spicy stuff.
The past two times I've had beer and food, I was at Poplo's and I ended up getting pizza and salad bar and had a Thunderstruck, which, I mean, beautiful beer, beautiful food.
Is it?
Then he mentioned Sculpin, and when I was in Sacramento, with the bucket of hams, I also got a grapefruit Sculpin, which...
Bucket of hams and a grapefruit Sculpin, please.
So that's where Mike looked at me weird. He's just like, dude, I just bought a bucket of hams for everybody. And I was like, no, I'll drink both. Yeah, I'll drink the hams and the grapefruit Sculpin.
Ham? You mean hams as in beer?
Yes.
Not. I thought you were having a bucket full of pork.
No.
Oh, man.
Like,
let me have a bucket of your pork and some hams.
Imagine a ham hock the size of a Cornish game hen, like mini...
Yeah.
Mini full ham legs.
Yeah.
That's what I was picturing. Like a bucket full of hams.
H-A-M-M-S. I guess
Sacramento's the ham city.
I guess.
Fresno's a tri-tip and taco city. Sacramento's the ham city.
So I pictured mini hams on a shank.
Oh, my gosh.
That's in a bucket.
That is where your brain is.
Dude, you're hamming it up right now. Just chill out.
So, but
hammies.
There.
Give me some hammies.
So I had the grapefruit Sculpin. And it was tater tots, mac and cheese, and pulled pork butt. And that was my pairing with the grapefruit Sculpin.
Booty.
And it was pretty damn awesome. That's why I fell in love with the place. They're like, your side options are mac and cheese, tater tots, or coleslaw.
Nice.
I was like, who wants coleslaw?
Yeah, nobody.
Filler.
Nobody wants coleslaw.
If anybody's interested... Popolo's does have grapefruit Sculpin on tap right now.
Whoa.
If you're looking to try out a pizza.
Yeah, they've had that, yeah.
Sculpin.
That's nice. Did you missed it, Bitter Brewer. There's rumors that Popolo's is looking to move. Have you heard this rumor?
I haven't.
That is a rumor. They're looking to move. We're concerned that the booths, if they do move, the booths won't go with them. And they'll move to some stupid shit northeast Fresno location or something.
Yeah, the epic booth where you take, is it tooth booths? Oh, you have a large party? You have one
take
mega booth.
Take out the divider.
We pull out this divider board and put your pizza on it.
Yes! Amazing!
Yeah, who knows? What if they do move? That'd be weird.
All right.
Speaking of beer and food pairings, Rocket Dog Brews and Brats is now open.
Yeah, locally.
Sounding like a great place to do some beer and food pairing investigation.
Yeah. What do these pair with this particular style of hot dog?
Yeah.
That sounds good to me. Time for a new beer.
I love gold!
What was the beer to brewer referencing earlier?
Because you've been...
Caught drinking. You caught drinking.
Nobody? You're just letting that one fall? Come on.
We want to watch you flail a little bit.
The new beer fish going around water. The table as we go into our being caught drinking segment. Thunderstruck IPA from Stone Brewing.
The new just okay beer from Stone.
I really like it.
I have not had it yet.
I really like it.
I bought this. I don't remember. I think, where did I buy it? At a place that sells beer.
a place selling beverages.
Sounds pretty good.
There's no date on this.
7/23.
Okay, there's a date on this. So, yeah, it's way old.
Is it old?
So old. Almost seven? 60 days.
But wait, you basically, 3 months is kind of like the cutoff for IPAs.
Yep, mm-hmm. 90.
So we made it, right?
Made it, bro.
We made it in.
We made it. Because you've been.
Oh, now you give a this crap is, about it.
Oh, what? Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, everyone pull out your Untappd. I am Dorktown on Untappd, if you would like to frame me. I will likely accept it, unless you have nothing else. Once in a while, somebody will friend me that has, like, zero everything. Like, has never checked into a beer, has no friends, has nothing. But then asks to be your friend or whatever, and you're like, this sounds, you're janky, bro.
Janky, bro.
I don't know if I can be your Untappd friend if you haven't checked into a beer. At least check into a beer.
Hello, God, I'm Alana. Sakes. I'm looking for friends. I in look country. Friends.
I need help. I have a check for $10,000 that I need you to cash.
View my webcam. I only need credit card to verify age.
Uh huh. So, what? Any interesting? Well, I know the Bearded Brewer is all he's been doing is drinking interesting beers. I have, and I still have another one. Kermit the Hop. From Bison Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
I got this at the our discount grocery outlet.
What?
Grocery outlet discount market.
Nice.
They had a side stack. $5. This is now the Kermit the Hop.
Wow.
This is, it's a higher end IPA. Really good IPA. I had it super, like the first time that it was ever introduced to the world. At the gala, right? At the gala.
Yeah.
And
the Beer Winch.
With the Beer Winch, thank you. And it was amazing. And when the bottles first came out, it was also amazing. So I see this bottle, it's five sec, and I'm like, grocery outlet, $5 IPA. Yeah, I know it's probably old, but I'm going to have... Damn it, it's only fucking $4.99. I got to buy this. And yeah, it was definitely old. It was malty as hell. It was completely different than what it is when it's fresh.
Went totally East Coast.
So, then, yeah. But hey, man, it was still beer, and it was $5 for a bomber, so I was fine. Bell's, we had a Dorktown since the last Perfect Pour. Bell's brought over a growler of Lancelot IPA from House of Pendragon.
The old Pendragon.
Man, that is, Jesus, that Lancelot is just solid. I think people have said it before. If they put that Lancelot, I think it was Renee, they put that Lancelot in bottles, like, that's a trade, huge trade. That thing blows up. You submit Lancelot in GABF, it's going places. It's just that. So, if you come to Fresno, make sure you're going to House of Pendragon, Greg. And you got to check out the beers. That was.
And they're in the middle of their Oktoberfest right now.
Oh, yeah. And at Eureka Burger, they had on tap Imagination Land from Mother Earth, one of the San Diego brewers. And I had not heard of it. I didn't know what it was. I looked it up. And it's a milk stout from Mother Earth, which is not a style I usually care about. But I'm at Eureka Burger. I want to have a different beer. I asked the waitress about it, and it was a waitress I had never seen there before. And she actually was like, oh, that's a good beer.
Wow.
And usually they don't, like, they're just like, oh,
huh? What's beer?
What? It's beer?
It's a beer style of beer?
It's got the foam on the top.
So I'm like, I'm seeing, as she's saying this, I'm like looking through reviews on Untappd, and everyone's giving it 4 stars or above. So I'm like, all right, give me that. And it is damn tasty.
Wow.
Nick, you should really try it.
I don't know
if you like milk stouts, but.
I do.
You guys like milk stouts. Imagination Land from Mother Earth is damn good. If get it at Eureka Burger while the keg's still there, I guess. Maybe it's not there anymore. So, what interesting beers have you boys been drinking, Nick?
Hi.
What the hell have you been drinking this past week?
I finished off my sixer of the Hop Diggity from Mother Earth, which...
Oh, man. That is a good beer, was, too.
Holy
Mother
shit.
Earth, dude.
That was amazing.
They're killing it.
Like, I know. I'm the stock guy. Woo, whatever.
That, ooh!
That was a great freaking
stout
IPA.
Guy!
I really enjoyed that beer. That six-pack did not last very long in my fridge. So looking forward to more of that. Had a celebratory Midnight Rush. Is that the Gold Wax one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Cracked open a Midnight Rush Monday night. And it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it, other than a six-pack of Black Butte Porter from Deschutes. But.
Bearded Brewer, what the hell you been drinking?
Let's see here. So, via hotel room, the Society hotel room.
Society. Damn it, I want to be in that hotel.
We shared.
There wasn't even girls in there, were there?
There was Jade. She.
Oh, okay.
That was the only female you needed that evening. She's rather awesome.
Oh, we've got a connection.
Oh.
Hmm? Anyways. So we had Nelson, and then we cracked open some Grunion cans, which was fucking wonderful.
Really?
Yep.
See, now you said you had Grunion before at Popolo's on tap.
But
and you're like, eh, that's all right.
Had you had Grunion driven up from San Diego with Ballast Point, that's a different story.
Via actual Ballast Point employees.
Yeah. So,
So you're saying a fresh... Grunion can, very excellent.
Yes.
Hmm.
Situational beer. And I did have that Hams beer.
Not actual Hams.
What? Who owns Hams?
Okay, so like the cartoon ham with the little round Hams bone in the middle.
Refreshing.
I think PBR owns them.
Oh, okay. And then, see, I'm confused. Like, I know Russians tried to buy PBR, but then they don't, like... What happened there?
They don't?
I don't know.
Not enough rubles.
I don't think maybe it wasn't an actual Russian person that owns PBR.
I think they do own it. I think that's already a thing.
The Jacuzzi limo is not big enough.
Hams, yes. We have Hams beer.
We have Hams, yes.
You like Hams? We like. Yeah.
Oh, you don't mean actual Hams. You mean beer.
Yeah. Miller.
Oh. So it's a Miller product. That's all right. It's not as bad as the AB InBev.
So there's that.
Shrink.
Then I had Mikey's favorite society beer twice. I had the Harlot.
Twice.
Because you're industry, huh? Yeah, I'm in the industry. I had some Harlot.
Do you even know what the Harlot is?
It's no Bachelor.
That's no. Oh, that's Harlot's a
they're Belgian.
Yeah, Harlot's a Belge.
Yep, they only had two beers. They had... They had the Harlot and the Pupil.
Pupils,
so
awesome.
I was sipping on the Pupils. I was supposed to be filling up
Harlot's
a growler.
Harlot's still good, and I don't like Belgium.
And I was supposed to be filling up a growler with my samples of Pupil for the guys, but I ended up just drinking them all. I'd walk all the way back to my booth, and I noticed I'd drink it by the whole time. So I kept going back to Society for drinking it. And then I had the Riley's IPA. Mr. Walker was pouring 2013 PNC, so I got to have one of those, and Bert got to try it as well.
Wait, did you get it poured by Mr. Walker himself?
No, he was done pouring, but
he did like a stint pouring.
Yeah, no, he did. There was probably about 300
from Firestone. The Mr. Walker,
yeah, that guy
was pouring his own beer.
He was well. See, that's a thing.
Does he even know like? I get the feeling like he doesn't even know what the hell's going on anymore. He's just like, oh, here's beer. Oh, you like beer? Here. Oh, yeah, tell me about this beer. We had guys brew it and stuff.
It was Matt Brendelson. He was standing in front of the booth. David was standing behind the booth pouring it, and there was a line of 60 people deep, and they were all getting their shots of PNC. And once the line died down to about 10 people, that's when I got in the line. And he was just chilling sidelines talking to people. Mm-hmm. At any given time, there's one or two people in line waiting to talk to him. But, yeah. So I didn't get it poured by David, but he was I mean, we had eye contact at one point when I was drinking that PNC. Nice. That's all you need.
You give me a little half cheer.
I mean, he's probably just like, bearded guy. And that was probably his.
No, he was a bearded brewer.
That was the extent of his thought.
Oh, a bearded guy at a craft beer festival. What do you know?
Then from Sante and Darius Rustic Ales, they had the last Ashley out there.
Well done, dude. You had
Sante.
Sante, bro.
Yeah, those guys are friends with Mike, so they came over to our booth and tried our beers and gave us props. I was like, I'll walk over to theirs. That's one line.
They gave Tioga's props?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, see, now next time I go, I'm going to have to bring some Tioga with me and just drop them up for them.
Yeah, so Mike likes Sante so much that he actually named his dog Sante.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
I love him, too.
Just say that you're best friends with the president. That's all. And then when we were at one of the conventions at the convention center, they had a Pale 31, the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and Citrus Blend from those lovely breweries. Pouring, so I sipped on those. Obviously, I preferred Citrus Blend. It was quite New World, where the other two were Old World. And then, let's see, I kind of mentioned these before earlier when my trip, but I was at Coin Op and I had a Mosaic from Carl Strauss and the Sudwerk Hefeweizen, and then from Dive Bar, I had a little something.
Mm.
And that's... Actually... It's somewhere between a cheers and been caught drinking. So Friday night, I was walking back to my hotel room from the convention or from hanging out and everything, and I hear a voice from a parking lot, and he's like, "Hey, it's a bearded brewer," and I was like, "Who the fuck's calling me from a Holiday Inn parking lot
in Sacramento?"
Yeah, and it was Erie Brewer, also known as Jim. Uh-huh. He happened to be at the festival and catch sight of me. He saw a bunch of Tioga shirts walk by, and so there was this.
I gotta know one of those guys.
There was a wrought iron fence around this Holiday Inn, and in the corner of it, where you couldn't park a car, they had a little grassy knoll. And so he pulled the lawn chairs over, and he was sitting on the knoll, and he was just had his ice chest, and he was just chilling there, playing his music, drinking beer. Security guard was totally cool with it, no big. And so he invited me over, and so we chilled there. And we, him and his buddy and myself and Chris, a co-worker Chris, we split some Heady Topper.
What?
A Shoka Vesa.
You just passed that by. We're in a parking lot in a hotel on the grassy knoll with a fence around it. And the security guard looking the other way. Mm-hmm. And there was a Heady Topper. And also we had...
Shoka Vesa. And
West Verletten 13.
From Spiteful Brewing, we had the Spiteful IPA. And then there was a blueberry one there passing around, but I did not drink that beer. I told them, you guys can drink it. And they kind of looked at me kind of funny. And I was like, no, blueberry beer has no business with me.
But, so it's like when somebody has cocaine at the party and you're just like, no, nah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why won't you do this cocaine?
What sent that night off into the beauty was they found a burger place that stayed open till 3 a.m. and they did craft burgers. Like, you've seen how like a burger looks at Eureka, how it's like 10 feet tall, the Kaiser bun, all the fancy stuff. It was three times better than that.
Ooh.
And there was a garlic Parmesan fries, regular fries, and this burger that was maybe at most cooked to medium. And there was like all this fancy food. And they're like, oh, yeah, here you go. Here's delivery food. So then he cut that burger into fourths. So not only did he give me fancy beer, we got to hang out, talk, shoot the shit. He fed me a quarter of a burger. Jeez. I was pretty fucking happy for a guy in Sacramento.
What beer did you pair with it? Because, you know.
We had to have been drinking the Spiteful by then.
All right. I was joking, but. You actually did.
I take things seriously, okay?
Oh, okay. Sorry, bro. No, I actually did want to hear. Well, is there any beers you guys are looking out for right now?
Barrel-aged Old Rasputin.
Old Rasputin.
I do need to add another one to my collection.
Is that out now? Wait, because...
If it's not out, it's going to hit very, very soon.
Because that confuses me because Velvet Merkin just came out too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those two always kind of mix me up.
Yeah, Parabola is early in the year, which would be more comparable to barrel-aged Old Rasputin.
All right.
But yeah, it's Velvet Merkin season. Ooh, that is a good beer for fall.
Firestone Walker's Velvet Merkin.
And also the regular version.
Their Old Mill Stout.
Merkin.
Now, what's the difference between Velvet Merkin and Merkin?
The Velvet Merkin... No. What's Velvet Merlin? Sorry. So Velvet Merlin. Velvet Merlin is the oatmeal stout, and then Velvet Merkin is the barrel-aged version of Merlin.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
And those hit in fall.
Those are hitting out now.
But
it's showing up in town and around the things.
Old Rasputin is
Firestone has it, we usually have it. That's one of our claims of fame in Fresno.
Yeah,
they've been Firestone Walker makes bottles that Fresno gets it.
Especially if it comes in a box.
Right.
Which Merkin does. But yeah, Old Rasputin is a year-round beer in Fresno, and so barrel-aged Old Rasputin is now coming out.
Nice.
That's their anniversary beer. That's the beer they put out once a year for their anniversary.
Do you guys see Metallica is releasing a beer with Budweiser?
I was hoping you were.
I'm not looking out for it, but I'm just saying it's because it's gonna have black cans.
Is that the only reason?
It's black. It's a Budweiser, but with Metallica logo on it, and it's a black can.
I'll buy one just to put on the shelf.
People are like going crazy. Yeah. Like, this is going to be a huge collector item because they're only making a certain amount.
Yeah.
To have the metallic on it. But I don't think the beer is any different. It's just.
No. Why would it be?
Yeah. They're not going to change money.
Yeah. Not for
Metallica. It's a king.
Yeah. Of course, you know. What do you expect out of Giants fans?
Something for you to look out for as a collector, not to drink. Was there a beer brewer? Was there something?
Did I miss it?
It's sitting in the fridge.
Yeah. Oh, wait, which one's in the fridge you want?
Aurora.
Maybe somebody should maybe go.
Both of us have gotten up to the fridge.
So. There's a lot of Thunderstruck left. I am not getting up, sir. I don't care how snide your remark is.
I don't care how much you guilt me into it. You and your Catholic Italian guilt. Did you hear how long that was? I'm going to turn on the fridge mic now. This could get good.
I was too into myself to hear him. I didn't understand.
Hey, guys, I'm kind of a big deal.
Have you seen my high horse? Wow.
Wait, he's opening
He's
it
just
in the
drinking
fridge.
It over there.
He's not going to come back.
Ski you guys.
Ski you guys and go home.
You're going to shotgun that one.
This beer can may have touched my beard or my pubes. You may decide.
I love gold.
Oh!
He's gonna be the first one to shotgun a Modern Times.
The new beer coming around the table. Oh, looking out for beer. Modern Times Aurora. Oh. It's the red ale, which Bearded Brewer loves red ales. Loves Modern Times.
It's a red rye.
How could it go wrong?
Red Rider.
Red Rider. Red Rider. Red Rider. Red 5 standing by.
Firefox.
All right, it's time for cheers. Burr, 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 burr. Any cheers you guys want to give out? I want to give out cheers to Beer with Friends. Their last episode, titled Vanilla Beers, they do reference some of the beers that we sent them.
Yeah.
I think they had the Tioga Sequoia, the General Sherman IPA.
Shermanator.
Along with some other beers.
They also learned
Seemed
about
like they
General
enjoyed
Sherman.
It.
Learned it.
Yeah. Sherman Tree. We
and
have
I think
a,
they did the
Rough
Cali
Fire
Cumin,
right now. They're defending the tree.
Yeah, Big Sherm, don't burn.
Don't burn, Big Sherm. Don't burn.
What's up, Big Sherm?
What? I mean, Big Perm.
Big Perm. Also, cheers to Vinland Farms. We haven't talked to Vinland or mentioned Vinland Farms lately, so cheers. And cheers to Nick. If you go to our own Nick, if you go to the Tower District, There is a physical presence in the Tower District that the Nick 80 designed.
No.
Our own Tower District, if you're not a local, we have the Tower District is kind of our culture epicenter, where we have a lot of restaurants and art studios and clubs. All are kind of like our against the grain culture is centered around the culture. Just the Tower District, well, like Goldstein's, and just a couple doors down from Goldstein's craft beer is a kiosk for the Tower District that our own Nick designed. Is it?
A lighted spaceship.
A lit spaceship. It's like Back to the Future meets the Tower District.
Mm-hmm.
It looks. I haven't seen it in person. It looks pretty cool.
My heart is.
Breeder Brewer, have you seen it in person?
Seen what?
This. Well, never mind.
Where are we at?
Nothing.
Seen what?
The thing that your brother designed.
Oh yeah,
no.
Actually, I ended up in Tower District that evening after the crowd had dispersed. And I walked up to it because
the TARDIS.
I wanted to see it because usually people prefer tape and staples, and it didn't look like a cork board material. So
it's a board. It's a board. What is it exactly?
It was a magnetic surface.
It is metal.
It is metal.
Yes.
So where you can put your flyers up, put the information up. This was like. The old one was just like basically just like a corkboard thing.
Yeah, it was a wooden structure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so it's metal. You got to magnetize your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if the magnets have not disappeared by now from thievery, yes, there will be magnets on there. You could post up your bills.
Oh, okay. You guys actually provided magnets.
Yeah, yeah, rare earth magnets.
Oh, cool.
And look like a little pill. Mm-hmm. Baby Advils.
And are people using it yet? Have you checked it out?
We unveiled it at 7:20. By 7:25, there was 6 flyers.
We were already
there was just guys walking by, and they're like, "Oh, cool!
Yeah, boom!
Oh, fire!
Get this flyer! Let's put it up!
Put it up!"
They went to tear some down off the Archer's music and post them up.
Oh, yes. Nice reference.
Yes.
The only thing.
So, if you're in the Tower District in Fresno, look across from the Tower Theater and you'll see a cool ass little kiosk there. And that was the Nick design that.
It is not a public restroom.
I've already gotten.
Restroom.
I've Don't already gotten those it. Stupid questions. Where is it at? It says Tower Info. What is it? It says Tower Info.
The Tower Theater is behind it in the background of the picture. Where's it at?
Where's it at?
Which corner is it on?
I'm sorry. Do you not recognize the most iconic thing in Fresno?
Which sidewalk's 30 feet wide and has a Tower Theater in the background?
It is a rather large corner.
So you can figure it out.
All right. Any cheers you guys have?
I'll just go to get rid of them.
Let's get these out of them.
Yeah. We've had too many conflicting views in this podcast. I'm over it.
I'm over it.
So cheers to the society. We got the Mike Steve and Miss Jade. Cheers to them for hanging out with me, saying that I was cool. I totally felt unworthy. Cheers to the cousin Steven. He was at
Beer
Festival.
God damn that guy.
He was the Riley's Brewing, they posted that they had a spot open.
Nice.
And so he was just like, "Hey, raise my hand." So yeah, they invited him up.
I didn't know how to talk about Riley's.
He had the polo on. He got to pour the beer and represent him, and I can say he fit in very well with it. And
nice.
Big Game Jay, it was cool to hang out with him. Thank you for the beer. Cheers to Bert for dealing with me.
Bert.
He had to drive up there and back there with me, and he was my navigator and food choice. And he had to sleep in the same hotel with me.
Damn.
Different beds, but... I mean...
Matt was hotboxing it the whole time.
Yeah, between farting and snoring, you have to put up with me pretty bad. Let's see here. Cheers to the President Michael Cruz for putting us misfits up in the North Val for the night. It was wonderful. The Erie Brewer, obviously thanks to him. Then it's always good to see my other beer friends, Thomas from Sudwerk and Scott from Dust Bowl. I always love hanging out with those guys.
Nice.
Wow.
Nick, was there any cheers?
Cheers to Todd Aloud. Always keeping us up to date.
Todd Aloud.
On SoCal info.
And our best harder on our Periscope.
Our best harder on I will beat you one day, Todd
Aloud. Todd Aloud has a quick thumb for our hearts.
This is a double metal reference.
Metal.
Let's see if you guys could place
metal shop.
Give me two bands that this name references to. This is an untapper. His username is Blacktooth Grin.
Well, Megadeth, obvious.
Pantera.
Nice. Bearded Brewer nailed it.
Wow, I didn't get the Pantera.
That was their drink choice.
That was their drink of choice. Crown Royale and Dr. Pepper.
A double crown and, yeah, a little splash.
That's called a black tooth?
It's called a black tooth.
Smiling oh, I didn't
like
know
a
that.
Black tooth green.
Wow, all right.
So there's an untapper going by a black tooth grin, and he found me, and he followed me.
Good job.
And name of the episode? 80s, early 90s cartoon reference. Itchy and Crafty.
Yeah, I've seen that
itchy
one.
Itchy and Crafty.
Itchy show. And Crafty. Nice. Well done.
Crafty beard does make you itchy sometimes. Oh, wait, that's only me? Okay.
When that dries, that's going to itch.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to the Perfect Pour. PerfectPourPod.com is our blog website where all you can find all the information you need, including going to our Patreon page. If you would like to donate to the show, appreciate what we do, you can go to patreon.com/perfectpour or just go to perfectpourpod.com and click on the Patreon link and find out how you can just donate money and get a little bit of extra audio in as a bonus. We next week we plan to have Greg, at least Greg, from SD Beer Talk in the studio. That's going to be freaking sweet.
What?
And then the next week is International Podcast Day is the 30th of September.
Oh, yeah.
And we have never done a live show. I don't like doing things live, you know, with the chat and live and blah, blah, blah. I'm all about the podcast, what the listener does with the podcast. And to me, always the a live show takes away from that and distracts from it. But since it's International Podcast Day and it's the same day we always record anyway, it's like, why not for one time, let's try doing a live show. And so if you're at all on Twitter or Periscope, the plan is for the 30th show, have a live feed going as we do the show.
So much pressure.
And so that's something to look out for on the 30th. I think you can actually access a Periscope feed without having a Periscope account on the PC. I don't know if you can do that the same way through a mobile phone.
Hmm.
But if you have a mobile phone and that's the only way you would listen anyway, just download Periscope for that day and just get on Periscope that day and you can watch us. So
nice.
That's just something to look out for, those two things. And also on the October 4th is Tower Brewfest.
Oh, yes.
Which is, I guess, relabeled now.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Because Tioga is going to have the Oktoberfest, right? When is Oktoberfest? Right, it's different. But
Tioga's Oktoberfest is October 10th.
October 10th. So
that is why Tower changed the name, though.
Yeah. So Tower's now Tower Brewfest.
Mm-hmm.
That's October 4th. Oh, it's not.
Yes. But yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
No, it literally is.
No, it's not.
I got a feeling that if we went into this discussion, nothing would get solved. So I'm not even going to try and get into it. But was there another event you were going to talk about, Nick?
No,
I feel like there was something else.
That was the Tower Brewfest is October 4th, $35 ticket. 1 to 5 on Sunday.
That just begins, and then we've got Tioga thing the next weekend, and then isn't Suds in the City?
Suds is later the 25th.
So look at that, 3 out of 4 weekends.
Beer festivals.
Is beer festivals, and then there's Halloween.
That Suds though is limited the tickets to 1,200 tickets though.
Tohani. So
if you do want to go to that, you see.
All right, thanks for listening to The Perfect Four. Let's listen to some birds.